This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Hello, hello, good morning. Here it's Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. We are here in the studio making ourselves at home in this beautiful day of Monday, 11 a.m. And I'm so happy today that I have Clarissa and Clara today with me as a co-host. My name is Alina. I'm originally from Romania. Clara, she's from Spain, and Clarissa, long way from Argentina. And we also have our guest today. Her name is Ni. She's originally from Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. Is it correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she has been living in New Zealand for almost 6 years now, 4 years in Wellington studying and working, followed by 2 years in Taranaki. She's studying was the main reason that she came to New Zealand, and she was fortunate to travel here with a group of classmates she already knew in Vietnam, who have since become her closest and dearest friend in New Zealand. At the end of 2023, she and her lovely partner Marty decided to move to New Plymouth to work and have ended up loving life here. Beautiful. I will not read more because I'm curious to know more about Ni. It says here that you are working at the moment as an accounts administrator for an EV trust. And you are also studying environmental management, a postgraduate diploma with Massey University, mm-hmm. And aiming to shift your career into the field. So, yeah, looking forward to know more about you, Ni, and your journey. Thank you so much for coming. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about you?
You basically just...
just said almost.
Yeah, just hopefully almost not about myself. I guess another thing that I would like to share is about my hobbies and things that I want to do that I usually do outside of work. So I do a lot of crochet as my hobby. I'm wearing a bandana, which I made
amazing.
Myself.
Which is beautiful. Oh. Yeah. Our listeners might not see it, but yeah, whenever I saw you this morning, I was like, oh, I want to ask her if she made it herself because it looks awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so I do have a craft group. It's a bunch of girls. We sort of take turns to host craft night at each other's place.
Oh, amazing.
So it's very nice, like a social things to do with my friends. And also other than that, I love dancing as well. And I recently got into bachata and salsa dance, which is part of most of the thing that I do outside of work.
And how did you learn to make crochet? Did you self-taught yourself, or did you like went to a training or a course, or a friend told you?
I was curious at first, and then I started to look through YouTube video. So a lot of crochet pattern that I learned learned from YouTube, and you basically can learn anything now from the internet. So that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So good.
Yeah. What are the things, like, what things can you make with crochet? Because I am seeing, like, people sometimes now are making, like, I see it because I have looked for that for my niece. They do, like, little toys or, like, with the shape of a kiwi animal or with the shape of a Pikachu or something like that. Do you know how to do that?
Yeah, I do. So I think they call it amigurumi, that they do... I usually make dolls and little soft toy for the kids and give it away. Also, you can make clothes, like top, like summer crochet top. Like when you go to festival, you see the girls usually wear those crochet knitted top. And I just recently got into micro crochet. So you use a very tiny little hook to make earrings.
Wow.
Amazing.
And it hurts my eyes a lot when I do it, but I really enjoy the outcome, the result. So I really, really enjoyed it.
Amazing.
Wow. Do you sell any of the things that you do?
No, not really. I feel like I would love to make crochet for someone that I love, or like to gift it away instead of to sell it. Because if I thinking about like I'm gonna sell this, I don't have much like motivation, and I just feel different when you make stuff for sales.
Yeah, makes sense.
Amazing. And you said here that you are in New Zealand almost for 6 years, right?
Yeah.
How came you decided to come to New Zealand?
Oh, that's a good question.
How did
question.
You choose New Zealand? Yeah, it's quite far away, right?
It is really far away from home. When I first thinking about like studying abroad, my family was thinking about going to Singapore, which is so much closer to Vietnam. Yeah. It's like flying from here to Auckland. But then we found this program that is like a collaboration program between a Vietnamese university with Victoria University of Wellington. So I studied halfway in Vietnam and then finished the other half of the degree in New Zealand. And I think that's a really good program to do, because it's much cheaper to study half of the program in Vietnam, and then you know the classmate. So when I moved here together with my friends. So we sort of stuck together as this in a group, and we sort of supporting each other to get like settle in a different country. We also have contact from people who learn study in the previous course or previous term. So they're already here in New Zealand. So we got in contact with them, and they help us find a flat and shopping for the flat. And so that helps a lot with settling in process.
Mm-hmm. And how was that process? Even if you had like help from like coming as a group, I think like potentially will make a difference. Mm. And also having like people that are already here to give you some tips and some advice. But how was the process of coming to New Zealand for you and settling in? What things were easy? What things were not so easy?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, it's quite a big process, right?
It is a big process. It might took me like a good couple of years to getting used to the culture and the difference. And I guess the good thing is that I came here with a group of friends who knows me well when I was in Vietnam, and they turns out to be very like such supporting a good friends. So we help each other out like in terms of our daily life and also in study life as well. And that's the good thing. The challenging things is that something that people don't really prepare me for studying abroad is to be able to understand your own culture and understand how you can fit into a new culture with your own personal culture.
Yes.
So that took me quite a few years to started to understand my culture and embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's also like it's a small community of people from Vietnam. I mean, I already know three of them. Now you are the fourth. And it's quite nice to see them all together.
Mm.
Are you involved in the Vietnamese community here, or more like you're more with your own migrant community?
Not here in New Plymouth.
Yeah.
I'm usually just stick with my group of friends in Vietnam.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice.
Have your friends moved to New Plymouth as well? Or what happened to them?
they're all in Wellington.
They are still in Wellington.
A lot of them, well, not a lot of them, just a few of them went back to Vietnam because they couldn't settle, like get a visa here to keep staying here in New Zealand.
Mm.
But most of us are here in living in Wellington.
Cool. So what you mentioned before, I think is quite important. Like, we sometimes don't realize that when we arrive to a new country, it's not always just as like adjusting to everything from this country. It's also like keeping the things from our own culture that make us who we are, while at the same time embracing what's new.
Yeah.
So what are the things from your culture that you have decided that are important for you and that you keep alive? And how do you keep them alive?
I think that I started to understand more about how my culture can fit into like New Zealand culture is when I started to work for Ngāti Tama, which is the company that I'm working now. it's the Iwi organization, so I learned a lot about like Maori values, and they really value family and food and whanaungatanga. And I find really interesting because we have the same values. Like in Vietnam, we also value family, we respect the elder, we really value like dinner around the table with our family and gathering. So since I started to work for Ngāti Tama, the more I learned about Maori culture, the more I reflect back into my culture. And I was like, yes, this is a very, really beautiful things about where I'm coming from. And I started to embrace it. But in the past, I did feel a bit self-conscious, like I'm not fitting in here, and I sort of care more about what other people think about me. But then now I sort of learn how to embrace it and seeing the beauty of my culture and embracing it.
It's beautiful, and I'm sure, like, because you were talking about food, there is a lot of food that you are cooking here that it's from Vietnam, or do you keep that tradition also?
I, when I first moved to New Zealand, I really hate cooking because at home my mom cooks amazing food. So I was really struggling to cook dinner for myself when I was being a student. But then I realized that I love Vietnamese food and I love cooking Vietnamese food. And I started to learn how to make it. And it sort of bond the relationship between me and my family, my relatives as well. I would go on a call with my grandmom asking, how do you make this? And that's such a beautiful thing.
That's beautiful. So good.
Yeah, my grandmother, she made an amazing Vietnamese ham made from pig ear and wooden ear mushroom. And it's such a beautiful dish that we eat in the Lunar New Year. So last year, I celebrate Lunar New Year here in New Plymouth, and I want to do something that reminds me of home. So I just got on a call with my grandmom and asked her how to make it. So that's beautiful.
Beautiful. I know. I also called my mom and I asked her, you know, how to make this, how to make that. And now she said, oh, you are now a professionist. Now you can do everything you want. And my daughter also, she started to cook. I really like these phone calls for a reason. And the reason is food.
Yes, absolutely.
And keeping the tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the advantage of living abroad as well, because in Vietnam it's so easy to go out and buy food and everything's so cheap. You just go out like downstairs, then there's the shop open and there's a restaurant open. But not like here in New Zealand, like if you're hungry at 9 p.m. then you don't have much
you have to cook for yourself.
So I have to learn to make a lot of things by myself, and I think I really enjoy that part of.
And it's like, what is your favorite food? Do you, because I know it's a lot of rice, right, and noodles. What is your favorite one?
I don't have a favorite
one. You don't have a favorite one?
I do have a big list of favorite food.
Oh, the top three.
Just that?
Your top three Vietnamese foods. The top three.
I think I really like... things that I like, Vietnamese food that I like, are the one that I couldn't get it here. We call it bánh đa cua. My mom made it like a wonderful, beautiful, it's a noodle soup made with crab and with fried tofu and tomato. And then we also have some grilled pork to have with it as well. It's really, the broth is really rich, and the noodle is made differently as well. It's brown noodles, so it tastes so much different. And all of the, I really love cuisines from the central part of Vietnam, like bánh bèo or bánh nậm. Those are they're all made from rice, like rice pudding. We have it with seafood, like shredded shrimp or pork mince, and
sounds delicious.
And with fish sauce in it.
Fish sauce, yeah. And I think the pork is here in New Zealand is quite different, because that's like from Europe. In Europe, the pork doesn't have this. Here is a particular taste, right? That you don't have in Europe. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And a dessert, is that dessert the big thing in Vietnam or not?
Not really. Definitely, we do have, actually, we call it chè. There's a very famous Vietnamese dessert restaurant in Auckland.
Oh, really? Nice. What is the name?
Chè, okay. C-H-E. I went there just 2 weeks ago to see Cirque du Soleil with my friends in Auckland, and we went to visit that place, and it was amazing. I bought a bunch of takeaway stuff to bring it back to New Plymouth.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good. So it's like a lot of tapioca with coconut cream and with soya beans based.
Yeah.
So those are sort of a dessert that I enjoy eating in Vietnam.
No, we are going to Auckland. I know Alina is going to Auckland soon, and
yes,
I am also going to Auckland. So
yes, we will check that.
We could check that
yeah.
Because I love Vietnamese cuisine.
Yes. Is there something here in New Plymouth, a Vietnamese restaurant or shop, or where do you usually buy your food?
I usually go to Fresh World.
Yeah.
They have really good. I love getting my green veggies there because they have good sorts of like watercress and water spinach that I usually make for soup.
Mm-hmm.
And also Fresh World is right next to the butcher at TLC as well.
Yes.
So we're trying to get buying our stuff from local supermarket instead of just get everything from the supermarket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to support local business.
Yeah, it's a great butchery there. I also take my meat from there. It's very nice.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, amazing.
I have a pending trip to Vietnam because in 2018 I wanted to go there, and then I changed plans and ended up in Malaysia and Thailand. I do not complain about. It's been great. And I found that some desserts for you are with a rice base or tapioca base. I'm from Argentina, and our desserts are based on flour and sugar, And I was amazed how the different culture and the different cuisines were, you know, like, because I was raised on the other side of the war.
And
then going there was very different.
Yeah.
So... is there anything? But then I found similarities.
Mm.
Like there are a few things, like the way to do the broth for the noodles was kind of like the same-ish recipe to my grandma used to make. Have you found any similarities when you moved to New Zealand with the English cuisine or whatever?
Not really. So my partner Marty from Spain, so I live with him, and we sort of take turn to cook dinner, like, and I think it's a really good arrangement for us. So he got to try some Vietnamese food, and I got to try some Spanish food that he make, and it's really different the way that we cook and the way that we I think the only one of the things that's similar that I can find is that we love garlic.
Spanish people love garlic.
Yes.
And I just love that I love paprika.
And paprika too.
But other than that, not much similarity compared to other cuisine, like in here in New Zealand or in Spain. In Spain, I went to Spain with Mari a few years ago, and I see how people cook, and it's really different from what we do. We have a lot of spices and a lot of flavor in the dish, but in Spain or in Mari's family, they make it simple, like just boil vegetable and over olive oil and
salt and pepper.
That's it. I think like olive oil, you need olive oil.
That's for sure.
If you don't have that, you have to start with that. But I think like the way we see it is like to keep the flavor of whatever we are eating. without adding other flavors, I guess.
Yeah. Even when you have fish as well, you don't really marinate it with a lot of.
No, not very often. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So that you can taste the flavor of the fish, and it's different from one fish to another.
And that's not something that I grow up with.
Mm. Yeah.
For me, I was like, you got to add more spices and MSG. So that's another beautiful thing about like living with people from different
countries. Wow, amazing.
And I am curious, you also said one of your hobbies, apart from making crochet, is dancing. Mm-hmm. What type of dancing? Tell us a little bit more about that.
It's Latin dance. So
you have two Latinas here.
Three. So I recently got really into bachata dance.
Ah, amazing. Okay.
It's like a partner dance, and I've never done partner dance ever before in my life. And when I study at, I signed up for a course at Alegria.
Yeah, we know Alegria, right, Clarissa?
Yeah. And I sort of got hooked into the community and people there. They are so friendly and very encouraging. And I used to dance a lot back in Vietnam. Like dancing used to be part of my identity back in Vietnam. But when I moved to New Zealand, you know, you have to deal with a lot of like adulthood admin tasks. And I have to find a place and have to find a job. And
and then you forget about
you forget
your
about
hobbies.
Dancing.
Yes, you forget about having fun. And now I feel like I'm in a very good place right now. I have a beautiful home to live in. Lovely partner to share my life with, and also a stable job. So I started to feel like, this is time for me to start going out and starting to do things that I love again. So I signed up for a course, didn't have much expectation, and then I picked up dancing really, really well, and I learned really fast with things. And now I do have a dance partner, which is amazing, and we both love dancing so much, and we started to find video clip on the internet and trying to learn through that together.
That's so good.
And so his name is Tony, and he has a dance floor at his place, so we sort of practicing it together like twice a week. So that was really fun, and I really enjoyed
Amazing.
It.
Do you see yourself like dancing at events or like sharing your dance with other people so that other people can watch?
Yeah. Oh, well, we do. We do have social dance. At Alegria, they have social dance every Monday when they have the term of their course happening. And also we have social dance party every once a month, I think.
Oh,
we just recently had one Saturday last week at the Three Sister Brewery, and it was really fun.
Wow, I've been one time, and I think it's when I saw Clarissa first time, the Alegria. It was at El Abrazo, right?
That was El Abrazo.
El Abrazo, it's a very nice place, and they had this dance, and I remember we were dancing so much.
I think that's really, really good. It's a good activity to move your body and to social, to meet people as well.
But then also it's a point there about dancing with someone else, because where from the dance I'm coming from, it's just dancing on your own. Like I'm more into urban, reggaeton, different thing.
You
dance more on your own with a group.
Yeah. Mm.
But then with salsa and bachata, you dance with a partner, and you have a leader and a follower. I struggle with that. I struggle to follow.
Yeah.
But it's
then
different.
You can be the leader.
But normally you get the guys are the leaders and the girls are the followers. Don't let me start on that. But it's a good opportunity to learn about boundaries,
roles.
It's like you learning how to move your body, and you move your body, but you also learn to follow someone else's steps. And it's different.
It's different. I think it's like I saw this dance tango. I've never tried, but I know it's also very like you have to feel the partner and how they are moving and everything.
Mm. Yeah, because the other leads you. And yeah.
One is leading, right? So it's always one leading.
Yeah, it's only
you
one.
You can't change, right? You can't.
Yeah, you know. That I think that's really really interesting to hear as well. I heard. I saw a really interesting interview on Instagram, and this guy, he's such a really good dancer, and he said that the main function of the leader in dancing is to focus on the woman and to make her flow, make her beautiful. That is the key function of the guy.
Oh,
and
wow.
In order for the woman to feel comfortable, to feel like beautiful, she has to be able to trust the guy, and the guy have to take care of her. So that's where the connection happening on the dance floor. And it's I find it beautiful that you can just connect with a stranger just in the split of a second when the music start, and then you started to listen to each other body and the movement, and it's about communication through body movement, and I find it's really beautiful.
Yeah, wow. But it's something we not always got told, you know,
or explained in that way, which is beautiful. Mm. And like, I think like if you were told like that way, you would say like, I want to follow.
Yes.
I want to follow someone that thinks like that.
Yeah, and that's at work both ways as well. If the guy just want to show off, then the girl feels like, oh, I'm not feeling comfortable. You're just throwing me around the dance floor. And, and I don't like this. And same thing with if the girl just want to do like her own shine and not following the guy's lead, then that's really hard for them to do the job. So it's got to be like a communication and both sides as well.
So interesting.
Yeah. Is it like you have any partner? No, you say like that was the first time dancing with a partner.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, you know, like the cultural shock
of
dancing different way. I know I got it, and I'm from Argentina. So I'm used to dance with someone, but when I got into bachata and salsa, I was like, okay, This is different.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great because you learn not only about yourself, you learn about other things,
other people,
and again, boundaries and body connection. Like, through the years, we get kind of like disassociated from our bodies, sort of like, as you said, like sometimes we forgot to have fun and play. Because we get too on the adulthood. That is good to remind ourselves that we need to play and to dance.
To be playful and enjoy life. And I also get it when we, when I was in Vietnam, I also do dancing by myself a lot. I did pole dancing in Vietnam.
Amazing, yeah.
So when I got into bachata and salsa, I've been told of a few times that I leading myself into doing.
I'm doing that, right? Because it's different, right?
Because it's different. Because and especially when you know the move already, you sort of just, just get straight into it. So I've been taught of a lot of time that, hey, wait for me.
That's amazing. It's so interesting how the culture, bring in a culture, you bring in the way you were raised, you know, and the way you were, you used to dance, you know, like I know in Romania, we also have this folk dance. And we always like, you know, we tend to jump, you know, like jumping, like dancing in a circle and jumping like that. So for us, you know, salsa and
chabata.
It's quite different because you have, when you dance in Romania, you have to jump, you know. Yeah. So I understand what you said that you are, you know, before the partner. you have steps before that. And tell us a little bit about Vietnam. I mean, I'm very interested to go there for a trip, so what would you recommend us, or where, what can we see there?
It depends on what you want to do in terms of tourism activities. If you like nature, if you like the bush, if you like going out hiking or mountainy, would recommend going up north, like further north than Hanoi. And I would suggest to look for sustainable tourism company, like tour guide in Vietnam, because Vietnam, in Vietnam, we are open, our business open up to tourism a lot, and that also have a side effect on like the on the community and then the environment around it. So if you can search or look for a sustainable way to look and see the culture, not just to go there and for Instagram photos.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that might be like a general recommendation for everything these days.
Yes. Just go there and go to the village and trying to talk to people and getting to know the culture and try the food. And I know we do have a lot of fish sauce in our food, but it's amazing if you... So up north, if you want to, if you like mountainy, central part of Vietnam has beautiful beaches like Da Nang, Nha Trang, beautiful places. And if you like big city, Ho Chi Minh City is really big. Ho Chi Minh City is like Auckland in New Zealand, but it's way, way bigger.
I've seen a video that where they don't have zebra crossing.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't have zebra.
No, they don't. So you...
Oh, you just go.
You go.
Just go like that, right?
No, you literally go and you need to start... Correct me if I'm wrong, but from the video and my friends being there, you start walking and all the traffic is flowing and you need to walk and keep walking and they're going to avoid you.
Just be intentional.
Wow.
Like no one is going to stop.
Wow.
You walk and they go.
Is it similar, like, because when we've been in Bali, like, you know, you have the scooters.
Yeah.
And it's always like that, you know, it feels like everything is floating. It's very crowded, but everything is floating.
Yeah.
And when you look at it from outside, it looks quite scary. I don't know how it's from inside. You are inside that traffic.
I guess from, like, Marty also went there and he said that just be water. Crossing
just water.
Go with the flow.
And do you have this in your culture? Like it's part of your culture.
Not really. I didn't because I live in it.
You
grew up in that. You came here and you see no traffic.
Yeah, I was like, and the one when I went across the road, the car stopped for me. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's happening here? Why are you stopping?
Because in Vietnam, I have to make way for the scooters and the car. But here is the other way around.
From what you say, it feels like it will be harder for me to be a driver, like to drive with that flow, than to be like to walk. Because if I am a driver, I will stop. I'm not gonna kill someone. I'm not gonna go like,
Interesting.
Yeah, that will be a hard one.
So many questions and so many things today. And time passes so fast, right?
Okay.
We have on our last question. Would you like Clara to ask?
Sure. So if you were to talk with someone that is going to move to New Zealand or to New Plymouth, what will be your recommendations or tips for that person to help them to make themselves at home?
I guess getting to know the people, joining community group that interest you and getting to know, like going out there and I know that's really scary getting out there and seeing, meeting new people, meeting new strangers, but I think it's a really good way to know the strangers and then people will help you out.
Yeah, it's a nice community here, especially in New Plymouth, right?
Yes. I'm very lucky that I know a friend and then that introduced me to craft group. And then I have a group of like girlfriends and then got into Latin dance community. Oh, so you just got to go out there and find your people, find your community.
Yeah. Is it? Can you tell us again about the crochet? You said there is no group, right? It's just the group that you...
No, it's just a close-knit group that we have.
If we wanna join, for example, I have my daughter. She's very interested in crochet.
Yeah.
Is it possible for an outsider to come or?
We do have occasional guests coming along to our night every now and then. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it only crochet or arts and crafts?
Just a bunch of girls gathering together doing different craft. We have like a card making master. We have knitting. We have laser cutting or so many sewing. So many different things. We just... sitting together, having a chat over food, snacks, and doing craft together.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I would want to know more about that. Yeah. Thank you so much, Nee, for joining us today. It was a pleasure to meet you. And thank you, Clara, for bringing her. And yeah, thank you, Clarissa, for joining us. It was so nice to see you again. And if you have something else to say as a close-up, Nee.
No, I think yes. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for helping me, having me here today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone. Listen to us every Monday at 11 a.m. This is Making Yourself at Home.
Thank you.
See Bye. You next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.